So, welcome to 2019. How did you find 2018? As I say in my back page focus, which you can please go home and read when you get home, for many of us in 2018, it was a really challenging year. Some of us had to face very serious illness. Some are still living with very serious illness. Others of us lost loved ones. We had to face the death of some very dear brothers and sisters from our fellowship. Others faced some real spiritual attack in the last year. Though I guess if we carry on doing what the Lord wants us to do, those attacks are going to carry on coming. But actually it has also been an amazing time of blessing. We've had some new babies, haven't we? Which has been great. We had Winnie and we had Lara and we had Luke. And we had a number of new Christians, people who came to know the Lord for the first time or came back to a real faith in Christ over many years. You might not be surprised to hear that I kind of keep an eye on also how many people come to All Saints who worship with us. And actually, our numbers are up, you'll be pleased to hear. They've gone up again. They went up the previous year. They've gone up again. About 5% more people coming to our church last year than the year before. We've got people studying. We've got three people doing degrees for ministry, including Bruno. And we've got Sam out in Thailand for YWAM at the moment on short-term mission. Please keep praying for Sam. We've got two new lay pastor assistants, including Ro. And in particular, we've also got healing rooms starting with Giles and Layla at the back there. They're starting healing rooms. And God has been kind of talking to us about healing rooms for ages. But then up to now, wasn't quite the right time. But somehow, God said last year, this is the moment to start. So there's the Giles and Layla and the healing rooms team are working. And they're now looking for new permanent premises. So very exciting. There's a new house of prayer starting with Dave and Sarah Brock. And all sorts of stuff is going on at All Saints as well. Okay, it's not all plain sailing, but who can say that God has not blessed us in the last year? Not because we deserve it, but because the Lord is gracious. So what about this coming year? Well, forgive me for those of you who are visiting. What I try to do in this slot, the first sermon of the new year, is tell the church about one or two of our plans in the year ahead. And I'm going to do that briefly, just pick out a few of the highlights. You should have all received that, the big dates for 2019. There are a couple more that have crept in even since I did that, but I'll tell you about those. First of all, 27th of January, we've got the United Service at the URC, and we've got this lady coming, Deborah Green, OBE, of Redeeming Our Communities. She's an amazing lady. I heard her speak at a Connect conference a few years ago. And she's really remarkable. And she's going to be running a community fair on the Saturday, drawing together lots of organizations, local organizations. If we want to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community, this is going to be a key moment. And then on February the 9th, we've got this guy, Dr. Pete Carter. He's been around before. There's going to be a healing conference at Lichett Minster, which is going to be really worth going to. You need to book in for it at the Lighthouse Church, but he's an amazing guy. And do try and get along to that if you can. And then from the 7th to the 9th of to the 10th rally of March, we've got the Kingdom Life School, again from the Lighthouse Church. They're coming to spend a few days with us and take the Sunday services. They're going to be opening up prophecy and the prophetic to us. And especially for those who are not too experienced with prophecy, but are keen to have a little go or to find out a bit more about it. We've got all the usual things. We've got the community cafe in Carwish. We've got the fun day going to happen. We're also planning to have a church weekend away at home, probably at the beginning of June. We're finalizing the dates for that at the moment. We're hoping to have some folks from 24/7 prayer to come down and share with us. And then a couple of things that are not on the card. We've got the third Connect one-day conference at Holton Lee with a speaker. I can't tell you who that's going to be yet, but we'll have hopefully a speaker there as well as an afternoon of prayer and worship. And then on the 21st of September, some of you will be very pleased to hear that we have this guy, Adrian Plass, who's coming to Purbeck. I'll be able to tell you a bit more information about where and when or exactly what time, but he's booked for Saturday, 21st September, so put that in your diary. And then we've also got two other very exciting things happening, two weddings, actually. On the 10th of August, Albert and Beth are getting married here in All Saints. There they are, looking very happy. And two other people looking very happy are Martin and Katie. In fact, Martin's at the back there. And they're getting married here at All Saints on September the 14th. So very exciting. So a lot's happening. And we're a busy church. We do stuff. People like to do stuff. I especially like to do stuff. I'm an activist by nature. But what I want to do at the moment is, just for a moment, is focus on a few minutes for what is really important. All that stuff is great, but there's something even more important. So I want to tell you about my favourite story of the week. This was yesterday's Times newspaper. Motorway closes to let steeping dormouse lie. Did anybody see this? It's a really great story. Listen to this. A 13-mile stretch of the M1 will close for 12 nights next week to avoid disturbing the habitats of endangered dormice, which are hibernating in vegetation next to the motorway. Apparently, they need to chop down some trees, all right? However, they are not allowed to let the trees crash down because the noise and ground disturbance would wake the dormice, which sleep with their tails wrapped around their heads. How sweet is that? Okay, if they come out of hibernation before spring, the creatures could die from the cold. The trees will have to be gently lowered by cranes onto lorries. These will not be able to park on the verges, as this might disturb the dormice. The contractors must therefore work overnight so the lorries can park on the carriageway. Isn't that nice? What a lovely story. Now, that tells me something about what's really important. You might have thought that keeping the M1 motorway open the whole time was really important. But actually, the powers that be, incredibly, have decided that some hibernating dormice are more important than keeping the motorway going 24 hours a day. Just for once, they've got their priorities right. Yeah? Absolutely. Which brings us to our verse of the year. If you're visiting, we have a verse of the year every year. And last year, everyone gets a little bookmark. You'll get a bookmark when you leave with the verse of the year on. And can anybody remember last year's verse of the year? Come on. Ted. Fantastic. Absolutely. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, says Jesus. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I was thinking and praying about what verse to choose for this next year. As you see, we've got a nice new color, all right? And I decided that the verse for the year should be love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I really felt we needed the same verse as last year. Because Jesus says these are the two most important commandments. But also I felt we hadn't really done it properly. We needed to do it again, you know. We've done loads of stuff, which is great. But first and foremost, the Lord wants to focus on relationship. And our knee-jerk reaction, time and time again, and my knee-jerk reaction, is to do stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord does want us to do stuff with him and for him. But that comes second. In God's economy, relationship always, always precedes activity. Do you remember John 21? Come on, four P's for 2019. John 21. After the resurrection, there's Peter feeling all kind of washed up because he's denied Jesus. And Jesus wants to reinstate him. And he's got a big job for him to lead the early church. And it's a huge job. And what does he say? Does he say, look, Peter, there's loads of sheep I need feeding. You're the man for the job. Would you go and feed my sheep? And by the way, you do love me, don't you? What he says is, he says, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter says, yeah, Lord, of course I love you. And then he says, then feed my sheep. You see? And it's just the same with the two commandments. He says, first of all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first thing. That love relationship with God has to come first. And then he says, right now, live it out in practical ways, loving other people. So we're going to look at that love relationship in looking at four things, and spookily enough, they all begin with the letter P. And those of you who are used to listening to me preach know that I hardly ever do things with the same letter, but actually they just happen coincidentally to have all begin with the same letter. Four P's for the first part of 2019. Up to Easter, we're going to be looking at these four things. And the first thing we're going to be looking at is the presence of God. As you'll hear in a moment, loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength begins with his presence. And then for 4 weeks, we're going to look at prayer. And we're going to be actually focusing on the Lord's Prayer, which is not just a prayer to say, but is actually a method of prayer. And then we're going to look at the prophetic. When the Kingdom Life School come, we're going to start off, they're going to start us off. We're going to spend 3 or 4 weeks looking at what prophecy is all about, how we can hear from God. And finally, the last P is praise and worship. We're going to spend 4 weeks looking at that. And actually, I've asked my son, Ed, who is a professional worship leader in a big student church in Cambridge and often teaches about praise and worship. I've asked him to come at the end of March to start the whole thing off. So we're looking at the presence of God, who God is, the prayer, how we speak to him, prophecy, how we hear from him, praise, how we express our love for him. Just two last things I wanted to say before we start to unpack the first of those themes, the presence of God. The first thing is the letter of James says we need to be not hearers of the word, but doers. We need to do what we hear. So what I thought we would do is change the format of our morning services a little bit. So when we look at the presence of God, as we're doing now, we'll move into a time of open worship after the sermon, when we will ask God to come in power and we'll experience his presence together. Okay. And then when we do prayer, when we're looking at prayer, what we will do is we'll move the prayer time till after the sermon again. And the preacher normally will lead the congregation in a time of open prayer, focusing on the themes of the sermon. Okay, so we'll be looking at the names of God. So we'll look at his name, and we'll pray into that. Okay, and we'll be looking at how God delivers us from temptation. We'll pray into that. Can you see? And then when we have when we're looking at the prophetic, we'll have a time of waiting on God and prophecy after the sermon. And then similarly with praise and worship, we'll have praise and worship after the talk. So we'll have a practical application of what we're doing. And there's one other way we're going to start putting this into practice, and that's by getting together as a church. And we're going to get together as a church on Monday night once a month, starting in February, for a new kind of meeting, and it's going to be called Presence, the presence of God. There's going to be some prayer, there's going to be some worship, but most of all, we're going to be waiting on and experiencing the presence of God. I don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to say quite, and so it might be a little bit unpredictable, but that's going to be very exciting. It's going to be great. So we'll be having that starting in the beginning of February. And also there'll be time for an alpha. I'm sure we'll do an alpha in the next few months as well. Okay, so we're going to, let's start to unpack this theme of the presence of God. We're going to look at over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And you might ask what all this has got to do with loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. And what's the connection? Well, have you ever been in love? Have you ever been in love? Because if you've ever been in love, you'll know that what fires your love more than anything else is not the phone call, which is nice, or a letter, do people still send those? Or an email, or a text, definitely not a text. It's the presence of the one you love that is so wonderful. And God's presence is glorious, because in his presence, we connect to him with an immediacy, which we don't get even by reading about him or hearing about what he's done. Actually experiencing his presence is remarkable. Because first and foremost, as I say, he doesn't want us just to do things for him. He does got stuff for us to do, but he wants us to love him. And I've quoted this so many times before, but it bears repeating again. This is Pete Gregg, founder of 24/7. He says, the pursuit of the presence of God has been without exception or exaggeration the prevailing passion and the common purpose of all the saints in every generation since the time of Christ. Study their lives and you will quickly discover the universal, all-consuming motivation which fueled everything else they did was a desire for the presence of God. And here's an example. John Wesley, amazing man of God, turned the church in this country around. He got up at 4 o'clock every day for 4 hours spent with the Lord. And in fact, in his later years, he sometimes spent 8 hours a day in prayer. Remarkable. You might wonder how he got it. Where did that come from? It came from this lady. That's his mum, Susanna. Now, Susanna had 19 children. 19 children. Okay, 9 of them actually died in infancy. She still managed to find 2 hours a day for prayer and time with the Lord. Can you imagine that? You've got 19 kids all around you, and yet you still spend 2 hours a day with the Lord. Remarkable, remarkable. So what is it about the presence of God that is so wonderful? And let's have a look at Psalm 84. And what's amazing is how you can see the psalmist falling in love with God just by being in his presence. This is what he says. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns. Sounds like a lover, doesn't it? Can you see? My faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. It's almost physical. His desire for God is almost physical. He so longs for the presence of God. Have you ever been in love with someone so much that every moment apart is agony? Every moment apart from God is agony for this man. And then he says this. He says, even the sparrow has found a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my Lord and King. He's saying, this is the place where I'm meant to be. This is the place where I feel comfortable and at refuge. This is my home. My home is being present and in the presence of God. Then he says this, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. There's such a blessing to be in the presence of God. Just being with him, just walking through life with him is a blessing. And then it's interesting, it says this, they pass through the valley of Baca, or some of the translations say a valley of tears. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. You see, as they receive a blessing from the presence of God, the blessing pours out around them. Do you remember what Jesus says? Out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. God's plan is that as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the blessing will pour out from us into the lives of others, into the community around us. As our vision statement says, we want to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. And finally, you know when you're in the presence of God, when time almost stands still. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know? Can you see? It's just like time stops still. The best times, the times when I'm most in the presence of God, you aren't looking at your watch. You just are not looking at your watch. Can you see how the passionate pursuit of the presence of God revives the weary and fills us with power and restores our soul? And if you ever to look at an example of what I'm talking about, oh, look, here we are. This is lovely. The Lord God is a sun or a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Isn't that lovely? We know God's favor. So, as an example of what I'm talking about, I thought we could have a look at Jacob. There he is. Not sure who did that painting. Actually, no, I do know. It's Raphael. It's Raphael, the Renaissance painter. That's who it is. It's a fresco by Raphael. There he is, lying down. Angels going up and down. Actually, I could have taken lots of examples from Abraham, Moses, Gideon, Joshua, pretty much all the apostles and the prophets, including the apostle Paul, because none of them, not a single one of them, decided to give their lives to God and follow a life of devotion and discipleship because they were convinced it was a good idea by intellectual argument. Do you know that? Every single one of them had an encounter with God, and they all tell the same story. The presence of God is life-changing. So let's have a look at Jacob for a moment or two. And I have to say that when you first meet Jacob, he's a deeply unattractive character. There's this intense, you probably know the story of Jacob. He was a twin. a fraternal twin, not identical twin. I happen to be an identical twin. He's a fraternal twin. There was this intense rivalry with his brother. He tricked his brother and his father into giving him his birthright and his blessing. And he's the kind of second millennial BC equivalent of a dodgy second-hand car salesman, really. He's just, you know, he's just a fraudster. In fact, his name, Jacob, means trickster. The word Jacob means someone who grasps the heel. That was a Semitic phrase for someone who's, you know, always after you, you know, not good. And so when he tricks his brother and his father, he has to go on the run. And he's out in the desert, friendless and alone, and Paul read us the story. And what we have here is that Jacob goes to sleep, and he has this dream, this vision. And what we have here is God stepping into Jacob's life and taking the initiative to get him back on track. And as he has this dream, God gives him these amazing promises that all the people on earth would be blessed through Jacob and his descendants, which is extraordinary, because would you think that the whole of the nations of the earth would be blessed through this dodgy second-hand car salesman person? You know, not very likely, is it, really? Goes to show that God uses imperfect people, because he's the last person I would have chosen. And God also says, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to bring you back here to the land of Canaan. But what it is that convinces Jacob is that this is real, is a profound experience of the presence of God. He says this, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. That's what produces a total change of heart in Jacob. Because God's presence does that. You know, that's what happens. Can you see what happens to Jacob? He's convicted. He starts to be convicted of his sin. God's still got some work to do, by the way, in Jacob. That's not the end of the story. We haven't got time for the rest of the story now. In the end, God deals with the trickster, you know, the fraudster, the liar, the deceiver. He deals with that. Takes another couple of decades to do that. But he begins to turn his life around and he completely reorientates his priorities. And, you know, he starts to respond to the Lord. And this is how he responds. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that I give you, all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And he's saying, Lord, you convince me. You're here. I know that you love me. I know that you're for me. You're for me. I want to serve you. And in recognition of that, I will gladly give a tenth of all I receive. And that turnaround happens because of the power of the presence of God. And the presence of God is here today. Now, of course, it's axiomatic, isn't it? If you believe in God, God is everywhere all the time. That's what makes him God. But it's being aware of his presence that is so powerful. And also, you know, there are times and seasons when God's presence is especially powerful. We'll be looking at some examples of that over the next 3 weeks. But here I want us to notice that it's by the presence of God that the Lord breaks in. He takes the initiative to turn our lives around. He did it with Abraham, he did it with Jacob, he did it with Gideon, he did it with the Apostle Paul, all the way through. He did it with Isaiah and Jeremiah. And he turns our lives around, and then what he does is he makes a relationship with us. He says, look, I'm here. I'm going to make a relationship with you. I will be your God. I want you to follow me. And then he takes the opportunity to make promises. He says, I'll give you your inheritance. I'll watch over you. And then he says, he gives the opportunity to respond. He says, come on. Are you going to take a step? I made a big step to you. How about a small step towards me? All he wants is a small step. And suddenly, the future's different. It's different because God chooses to come in power and his presence is here amongst us. And I believe the Lord is here this morning. Not just because he's everywhere all the time, but because there's a special thing about when God's people come together, committed to wait on his presence and experience his love. Something special happens. And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, I kind of feel the air is heavy. Have you ever felt heaviness in the air? And sometimes when I hold my hands out, I feel, actually I can feel it this morning, I feel my hands are like holding a weight, you know? And the atmosphere is heavy with the presence of God. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this, I've had this lots of times, sometimes I need to get down on the floor. And I feel I can't get up off the floor because the weight of God's glory is so extraordinary. Yeah? Have you ever had that? I've had that. And sometimes it's been so heavy, I've been trying to burrow into the floor. And you can't because the floor is solid. It's like this big hand is on top of me. That's the weight of the glory of God. It's extraordinary. It's an extraordinary thing. And so I believe the Lord wants to meet with us in that way this morning. So look, if the band could come out. Could you come out, band? That's great, fantastic. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a worship time. But in the course of that time, we're just going to spend some time in quiet as well, waiting on God and just seeing what he does and what he says and how he manifests himself. And he might not say anything, but I defy anyone. If the Lord turns it up in power, I defy anyone for not to experience his presence, because his presence is extraordinary and is heavy and is wonderful and is life-changing, and we're never the same again. You're never the same again. If you experience the presence of God, you're never the same again. So let's pray.